Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, let's talk for just 1 second about these things that we're considering tonight. And as we do, I think it's interesting. You know, we remember Romeo and Juliet and Hamlet and Julius Caesar and Othello a lot more than we remember Much Ado About Nothing and the Two Gentlemen of Verona. I'm sure many of you took British literature maybe in college or in high school and you had to read some Shakespeare. But as important as laughter is in his comedies, it's the tragedies that Shakespeare wrote that make you feel something more unshakable. We really, it makes you feel lots of things, but it's this weight in these stories. It's the sorrow that lingers in our memories. And everybody in the planet can relate to these things because we know just how heavy and tangible these feelings are. We know how palpable and oppressive these emotions can be. Shakespeare's tragedies, they outpace his comedies in reproduction and remembrance because of the impact they have on our soul and the way all of humanity can identify with loss and sorrow and death. Think back on the Macbeth, Act 5, Scene 5. Sutton has just said to Macbeth, "The queen, my lord, is dead." And Macbeth, somewhat, but not entirely sarcastically, replies, "She should have died hereafter," as a reference to all the terrible things they had done and all the things which had been plotted against them. And then Shakespeare writes his most memorable and maybe his most famous soliloquy in all of his work. "Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps at this petty pace from day to day till the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death out. Out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets upon the hour of the stage, and then is heard no more. It's a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." Do you hear it? Do you feel it? The weight, the darkness. Macbeth realizes what he has just lost and what he is going to lose. His wife is dead. The armies have surrounded his castle, and there's nothing left but total darkness and despair. He speaks of tomorrow and today and yesterday. He sees the full complex of time and how it all just leads to death. Out. Out like a brief candle. Everyone has their life blown out at some point. He says it's like a walking shadow, a poor player. In the theater, a walking man is the lowest of all those in the production. It's somebody who just comes on with no lines, and there's nothing about them that's significant. And Macbeth says, life is just the shadow of a walking man. It struts its hour on the stage, thinking it is all grand and worthwhile, but it is not important, because when it's over, it will be heard from no more. Life and all who live it are just a tale full of sound and fury, noise and pomp, and it signifies nothing. That, my friends, is where the disciples were and what they felt on that first Good Friday. What's more, is that the truth of life and death prior to Easter, that first Easter Sunday, was one of empty meaninglessness. Before the resurrection, death was the end. Sheol was the inevitable ending for everybody. There was no grand hereafter. And so when Jesus was crucified and laid into a tomb, there were the disciples feeling the weight, feeling the pain, feeling the undeniable, unending sorrow of meaninglessness. Like the author of Ecclesiastes said once, vanity of vanity, meaninglessness and meaninglessness, it's all meaningless. And that's what we come to remember tonight. That's the reality we sit with this evening. We come to recount just how tragic Good Friday really was. And if we take a moment to think of it internally, it's not hard for us to imagine what they felt. It doesn't take very long for us to recount moments in our own lives of sorrow and loss. We still feel the weight of pain in this world. We still feel the sting of death. You know, we often sing songs that have this reference to 1 Corinthians 15, where it says, "Where, O death, is your sting?" We sing those lyrics and quote those verses as if to say, if you have faith, then death won't have any more stings. It won't be sad. If you convince yourself, if you believe in Jesus, there will be no more pain and no more sorrow and death won't hurt anymore. You'll just be super happy. But if you actually read that text from Paul, it goes like this. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and when mortal and immortality are together, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then the saying will come true. Paul knows we have a victory in Jesus, but it's an eternal victory. It's one we glimpse in the here and now, one we experience in certain ways, one that has been won for us, but that has not been brought to its fullness yet. Life is not as it should be. It is not as God wills it to be in the end. We still feel the sting of death because losing someone we love is still unbearable. It's unbearable because love is so powerful. We still grieve when we lose someone because we're still only human and the world is not yet heaven. It says, one of my favorite new songs goes, it says, "Grief is only love that has no place to go." You know, Shakespeare's tragedies, they resonate with us in the same way we feel, knowing that Jesus prayed Psalm 22 on the cross and that we pray Psalm 23 at every funeral we do. Hear what Jesus said while he's on the cross. This is what he's referring to. He's praying. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That's the first verse in Psalm 22. And it goes on to say, "Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, I find no rest." And it goes on to say, "Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no help." Jesus didn't sin, yet he knew pain. He knew the sorrow. Jesus was God's own son, yet he felt the weight of people against him and was longing, felt the longing that we all feel for God's presence. And cries out, "Where are you?" And just like when we pray, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We pray Psalm 23 in tender moments because we are searching for God's comfort. But in this psalm, we find once again the recognition that things are out of sorts, that life is hard. Psalm 23 does not say, "Thank you, Lord, that all is well." Psalm 23 does not say, "Oh, thank you, I don't have to go through anything hard because you've already fixed everything for me." What's it say? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The valley is not a thing of the past that is over and done with. It is a road that we all travel. Death and sorrow and longing have not lost their impacts on our souls, but they will. This is the night that made it so that all of those things will not have the last word. This is the night that reordered the world in such a way that we can have assurance that death does not win, and sorrow will not reign, and one day we can say, "O death, where is your sting?" Because we actually won't feel it anymore. And because of that knowledge, we can walk through those valleys, those shadow valleys, and not fear, because we know that God is with us, and God will win, has won, ultimately will set things right. And until that day, we can look at the darkness and the pain and the longing that we have. We can feel all the things, and we can say it's okay to feel those things. It's okay to name that things aren't perfect, that things still hurt. It's okay to acknowledge your human grief. You are not worse of a Christian or less of a believer if you feel pain, if you have doubts, if you have sorrow. Because Jesus felt all of those weights. We can name the heartbreak and longing in our soul and still have a strong faith, because it's in those moments of deep darkness that we know Jesus has been there too, and that God will be with us when we walk through them. We can hold on to the truth that assurance Christ is for us, no matter what, and that you are not alone. Your pain is real, and so is Christ's victory over all of these things. And one day I pray that we can look at death and say, like John Donne said in his poem, "Death, be not proud, though thou, some have called thee mighty and dreadful, you're not. For those who think of you, that you overthrow, but die for death. Because one short sleep past, we will wake in eternity, and death will be no more. Death, thou shalt die. Death is put to death in Christ." Tonight we remember that Christ overcame all of these things 2,000 years ago. These things happened, and because they did, and because Sunday is coming, we know that these things that we feel, the sorrows that we carry, the pains that we have, the hurts that have happened, do not have the last word. We can still come together, acknowledge our human grief, and say that one day all will be made well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, will you pray with me? God, we thank you for what you have done on the cross. And as we remember it tonight, we acknowledge our own grief, our own loss, our own pains, and we ask for you to journey alongside of us as we walk through these shadow valleys, Lord. Help us to feel your presence and to know that you are with us now and always.